This is Phil Farron. And I am driving around. We have small groups tonight. And for this particular small group meeting, we're actually meeting in town at a restaurant. Because my beloved had headed up to St. Louis because we had a family in a church who had a small child, very small, baby, who was going to be having surgery, and my wife just felt like being the care pastor, but in addition to that, just felt like, she just felt like she should really go up to St. Louis. So she did a whirlwind trip to St. Louis, went up yesterday, spent the night. They went to IKEA, and then she was at the hospital today with the couple while the surgery was going on, and then she's just recently gotten back into town. So it's been a fast trip for her and lots of driving. But it's 5:15 now, and we're supposed to be back over at a local restaurant here by at 6:30. So I'm going to go ahead and record the podcast, maybe do a little writing, and we'll just see. So anyway, it's been a good week. It's been a good, fun week. And God has been so kind this week. I often get little nudges. And sometimes those nudges have to do with things that are going to be happening in the future. I have noticed that when I get a bunch of nudges kind of on the same topic, that I should probably just kind of buckle up because it's coming. So here recently, I had a whole series of nudges that had to do with how we harvest specifically our career expenses. Because we were growing on the number of those that we were doing, and it was going to be highly inconvenient if that process went bad in the middle of it. And in fact, this week, as we were ramping up, to do those harvests, I mentioned to two different people that this is getting to be big enough now, we're going to have to start doing some disaster planning. So also this week, when we actually did the harvest, I pulled in a couple of guys and we recorded the sessions on Teams so that should I get hit by a bus or something, you know, this is the process that we go through. So right in the middle of showing them that, and at each stage I'm going, oh Lord, bless the work of our hands. Right in the middle of that, we get a timeout. Never had gotten this timeout before. Got a timeout. And I was facing the very real prospect that I was going to have to manually start 300 plus of these career expense reports, start the workflows for them, and I was like, you know, but you get quiet, you listen, Jesus whispers, and then, well, you can do this, 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 this. We did those things. We got it started up. Everything seemed to go fine. Ta-da! Jesus is so good to me. So good to me. It's amazing. Anyway, so work went well. We were able to get closed. We think it was all closed fine. Everything's good. You know, everything seemed to work okay so far. Never know till you start hearing back from the missionaries, if you start hearing back from the missionaries. So that's all well. And so that went good. That went good. And ready for next week. Got everything in place, I think, that needs to be in place. So God is kind. God is good. As far as last Friday went, it was spectacular. It was just spectacular. And I do have a video that I put together of it because I actually recorded myself in the store and at the restaurants because April Fools fell on a Friday. And it was fun because I knew years ago, I had looked at the calendar and I'm like, well, hey, April Fool's is on a Friday. Gotta do something big for that. So I had been planning to do something. I didn't know exactly what for some time now. And easily 3 months ago, 4 months ago, maybe, no, been longer than that, because I started working on this before the end of the year, I think. And so it's been 4 or 5 months when I've been, you know, keeping things in mind. I basically knew what I was going to do. At least I thought I knew what I was going to do. Had to get clearance for all those things from my beloved. And it was really interesting because the base premise was, is it possible for me to go into Walmart dressed in a costume that had some funny component to it and people not know it's me? When I first started talking to people about this, about I'm trying to go into Walmart and people not know me, they said, well, you could just go in incognito. You know, you just put on a hoodie, put on a mask, put on sunglasses. They won't know it's you. And then you can just go, April Fools. And I said, yeah, but it's not funny. It's not funny. It's got to be funny. And so on the basis of that, I had quickly decided that it was impossible for me just to go in once and accomplish that. Because A, if I had gone in only one costume and had walked into the store at 8:15, 8:30 in the morning, on a Friday morning, I just assumed that people would know that it was me. As it turned out, not everyone did, which was very interesting. But I thought the only way you're really going to be able to pull this off, and I've actually pulled into a cemetery in town here, so I'll just drive around the cemetery and talk for a while. The only way you're going to be able to pull this off is if you go in twice. You go in once, you kind of clean everybody's palate out. Oh, Phil has been in. This is what he wore. We took pictures of him. We know he's been here. And then loop back around and come in a second time. That worked like a charm. Especially because that second trip, I was unrecognizable. And the only people who knew that it was me before I announced myself to them, the only people who knew were the ones who hadn't seen me that morning. So the first costume, went to breakfast as this, was a little old lady, little grandma costume. I had gotten a really terrible latex mask, which if you were 10 feet away or so, you know, you couldn't tell, but it was all wrinkly, and I had bought this little floral dress with my little sweater, and, you know, the mask had a silver gray wig on it, so I'd gotten a little hat to wear with. And I had a walker, and I was walking all hunched over and stooped over. And, you know, surprisingly enough, there were several people that had no idea it was me until they got closer. They're like, oh, Phil. And so we had, you know, we had fun. It was fun. We did, like, a little thing. The second one, costume, was the big one. Because I really wanted to shift. I wanted to shift the whole environment of it to the place that when you looked at the costume, you would realize it was ridiculous once you knew it was me. But before you knew it was me, it was just close enough to being possible that people would accept that it was somebody else. So the idea was go in as a little old woman first, and second, go in as an Instagram influencer. I wanted to be an Instagram influencer so that I could be taking pictures as I was in there, for one thing, so I could be videotaping, so I could be taking pictures. but also so that I could be less engaging with people. You know, a little more standoffish, a little more floating around, doing my own thing, because that is very much diametrical to what I normally do. Usually, I normally just, if there's anybody I know, I make a beeline for them. Or if they look interested at all, I make a beeline for them so that we can chat and do that thing. So the fact that my whole character would have changed in terms of not paying any attention to them at all gives me just one more level of abstraction out. So I don't think I mentioned this on the podcast because I was trying to be careful as to exactly what I mentioned to whom. But a month ago, I put on the Instagram influencer costume, and having made an appointment, I went south to something called Current Studio. I think it's called Current Studio. It's a very hoity-toity kind of a hair salon place. Right across from Battlefield Mall, which is the kind of the richer area. South Springfield has, you know, more development, richer. I went down there and I had hired a makeup artist. She was just a sweetheart named Tabitha. Makeup by Tabitha is her stuff here in town. She was out in Hollywood for 5 years, has done specialty makeup, has, you know, I mean, she's done magazines and she's just, it's done all that stuff. She's here in town now. Has a master's, I think, in makeup. I mean, it's just really, you know, quite skilled. And that's what I was looking for. So I had contacted her. She'd gotten back in touch with me, and I kind of explained the bit to her as to what we were trying to accomplish. She thought it was a hoot, and, you know. So we talked some more and set up an appointment. And because that's like the first thing. You got to actually see what you have to work with. And so I had gone down first weekend in March on a Friday, put on the Instagram influencer costume, went down, did the makeup, and it was it was funny because, well, first of all, the Instagram influencer costume, I made myself hip pads, which aren't hard to make. I made myself oversized hip pads, and then after I got them all kind of crafted and I was showing my wife, she was like, yeah, you need a bigger butt. I said, okay. So I went back and got some more foam because I was using 2-inch foam for the hip pads. Went back, got some more foam, 1-inch foam, and I made myself some butt pads as well. So I was cutting a fairly shapely figure in leggings. And then I had a kind of white top, semi-translucent top. It wasn't really transparent, but, you know, you could look through it a little bit. And I also had made myself some fairly large bosoms. The bra that I found that finally fit was a 38 triple D. So as you can imagine, it was pretty big, but I had that, and then I had paired it with a pink corset. And so there were definitely some curves happening. So I had told her, I had showed the makeup artist pictures ahead of time. And I actually had two different costumes, and she said she preferred the one, which was fine because that was the one without heels, and I was very happy to not be wearing heels. So I dropped down to see her on whatever that first Friday in March was, just to see what we had. And she had been telling some of the other ladies in the salon that I was coming, and so they were all popping in, and we were talking and gabbing and like that, so it was fun. And I got tickled because about halfway through, about a half hour into it, she started grinning. And she said, "You are going to be gorgeous." I said, "Well, thanks. I, you know, I don't know." And so, you know, there came the point when I slid out of the makeup chair and looked at myself in the mirror, and I was like, "Oh, okay, this will work. This will work." And so there was some decisioning that had to be done as to whether or not I was actually going to do this. because my wife was expressing a few concerns. And by that point, I had already made the appointment with the makeup artist. And I said, well, sweetie, you know, makeup artist, I'm getting together with her tomorrow. I said, I've already made the appointment. I would hate to back out on her now. And she said, no, you can't. You've made the appointment. I said, let me go down. Let's have the makeup session. Let me come back home. And then we'll talk about it. And so I had come back home. I walked in the door and she just looked at me. And she said, you know who you look like. I said, nope. And we had actually had a lady in our church who used to do Mrs. America contests. You know, a very attractive woman, was always dressed to the nines with, you know, full makeup, that sort of thing. And she said, you look like her. I said, well, thanks, you know, because that was a compliment. So, you know, I knew it would work. And so I said, sweetie, I'm ready to just stop now. If you're uncomfortable with this, I said, I do think it will be funny. And I think people will enjoy it. And she said, you know what, just go for it. It's fine. So then we were in the shoot. And basically by that second week in March, I was ready to go. I had the costumes in place. I knew what the schedule was. But the week before then, so not last week, but like the end of the previous week, I had actually written everything out. At the time, I thought I was going to have a third costume on April Fool's because one of the managers at Walmart had asked me if I would come in the sunflower costume because they were doing Lawn and Garden Center's grand opening. And so she asked if I'd be willing to come in the sunflower costume and just walk around and schmooze with people. And I said, sure, I'll do that for you. So I thought the schedule was old lady, breakfast, hit Walmart fast, don't do any grocery shopping, out, change into the sunflower costume, come back in, schmooze. That gives me two times in, out, go get changed, go get makeup on, come back to the store. As it turns out, they moved the grand opening to this weekend because weather was going to be bad. And so I think the grand opening is still this weekend. I'm going to double check with them because it's all of a sudden turned a little cold here. And so I was there in the store, actually had several people who didn't recognize me. Once I knew that I wasn't going in the second time to the store, I moved back my appointment for makeup from 1 o'clock to noon because that would give me a little more time on the backside because my morning shift people would all start taking off. I knew that. And so that would give me another hour. And so I was like, this is great. This is going to work great. And so I was videotaping, you know, interactions, just talking and saying, okay, this is the next step, this is the next step. Waiting to get my makeup on before I actually started filming interactions. And so I was down there at noon, right on schedule. She was there. We got the thing done. I was out of there at 1. Everything was great. First place I went was First Watch, which is the restaurant where I have breakfast sometimes with a friend. And I had a whole thing in my brain of what I was going to do, but I wasn't sure how many people would actually know that it was me. And so when I actually got into First Watch, I was just like, you know what? Just run with it. And so instead of going through all that stuff I had planned to go through, I just marched like I normally do in costume. I just marched up close to the kitchen and said hello. You know, I normally just march in close to the kitchen and just wish everybody whatever day it is. And I just marched into the kitchen and they're like, you know, up approaching that. And they're like looking at me and this is, and I say, I greeted with something, how are you all today? Happy April Fool's. And of course, you know, they all start laughing. The waitresses that I know, the servers that I know, they all start laughing. I said, we were wondering who this woman was who's come walking up. And so then we joked and kidded and did that for a little bit. And at that point, then I realized, okay, nobody is going to recognize me. I mean, no, nobody is going to recognize me. And once I knew that, then I just kind of changed the whole thing. I had been working on a female voice, which is a real, that's a fascinating thing from a sound production perspective, that of what you can do with the human voice. And frankly, if I had had several more months, I could have probably gotten that to the place that it was pretty good. But as it turns out, it was okay, and then I had caught a cold, and that had roughed up my vocal cords, and so it wasn't nearly as good as it could have been, so I just abandoned all that. Came out of First Watch, went to start my mother-in-law's car, because I had borrowed her car so people wouldn't recognize my car, and the car was dead. It was dead. It was just going tick, 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 tick. Turns out it was just a cabling problem. It had warmed up. There was some corrosion on the terminals. I didn't know that. Oh, man. And, you know, you have that moment like, are you kidding me? And, you know, but almost instantly, I was like, you know, everything's fine. It's good. It is good. Everything's fine. Everything's just fine. I'm way ahead of schedule. I'll get caught up. So then it was a matter of taking a deep breath and saying, okay, who's going to come get me? I eventually decided on Nana because she could bring my car. I could take her back home, and then I could just run around in my car. So I decided on that. And so then I had like, you know, 25, 30 minutes to kill. I practiced my camera angle shooting thing a little bit because the video that I had taken in First Watch wasn't great. So she eventually got there. She was going to call AAA, but then she didn't have the number. And so we just, you know, went ahead. And I took her back to her house. And then she was going to call AAA. As it turns out, you have to be with the car for AAA, which I've never heard of a tow company requiring that. But for AAA, it was required. So my wife had to come in and get my mother-in-law and take her over to her car. And at that point, Lynette had a little Jesus whisper that she should just try it. So she put the key in the car and it started right up. So then they drove the car back home. But that 45 minutes to an hour that threw me later than I thought really turned out perfectly. This was the thing. It was unbelievably perfect. I did miss out seeing the waitresses at Cracker Barrel, because I wanted to see them. They all left at 2. And I didn't know they left at 2. I thought maybe they'd probably leave at 3 since they come in at 7. But apparently they leave at 2. And so I missed out seeing any of them. I saw the manager there. We chatted for a little while. And she knew it was me immediately because I asked someone to go get her, which of course is unusual. And so I wasn't off to a great start. First Watch had gone great, but then I missed out on all the waitresses at Cracker Barrel. And as I was walking out videotaping, I saw a young lady at Cracker Barrel who I knew. And I just got this little whisper, you should talk to her. So I wandered over and I said, you know that guy who comes in dressed in costumes? And I mean, she's looking right at me. And she goes, uh-huh. I said, I'm that guy. And she just said, no way. You look beautiful. I said, thanks. So then we jabbered and a couple other people who kind of knew me wandered over and took pictures. We had a really lovely little exchange. And so that was fun. So then I thought, okay, this is actually going to work. This is going, because she hadn't seen me as the old grandmother. And so I thought, this is going to work. So then I just changed my tactics altogether. The first thing I did when I got to Walmart is I ran in to see Sean, who is the personnel lead, I think is her official title there at Walmart. And so I ran in to see her, and I had talked to her earlier about the whole thing because I wanted to know about taking pictures in the store and all that kind of thing. So I saw her, and she was just, you know, she was just thrilled when she saw me because I just snuck back in the back to where her office was, and she, you know, she said, this is fabulous. I said, thanks, you know. So then from there, I just started scouring the store. So what I'd do is I'd spot some of my people who were still there, and I would just act like I was shopping. And I'd wander around, and I'd get closer and closer to them. And then when I got close enough, I'd just turn and say, "Do you remember that it's still April Fool's?" And I just used my normal voice, and they would look at me for a minute, and then it would go click, 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 because they recognized the voice. And I caught almost all of the good stuff on camera. I missed one that was, it was so painful when I realized I missed it, because I just had the, I had changed out my case. Normally, I just have a black case that has a flip in the back for my cards on Friday, so I don't need a pocket. I had changed that out for this pink sparkle case that had rhinestones on it, and it had a ring on the back of it so I could slip my fingers in that. And so I had that kind of slung off to the side, holding it up so that I could shoot people. And that meant my thumb was kind of hovering near the front of the phone, because I had the phone flipped around backwards because I was shooting off the rear camera because I didn't want people to know I was filming. And apparently my thumb hit the stop button right at the wrong time. I had worked my way all the way back into automotive. There were three guys there that I knew in automotive. I looked around at the key rings for a while and all that kind of stuff, and then I just kind of got in line. There was a person up front, then there was a person waiting for that person, then I got in line behind that person. And so I was standing there for, I don't know, 3-4 minutes, you know, just kind of looking at the signs at the top. Nobody recognized me. Got all the way up to the front, and one of my buddies in automotive, he looks at me and goes, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Well, do you remember that it's still April Fool's?" And he just leaned his head back in shock. He's looking at me. The other guys came over. We laughed. We carried on. I lost all of that because I had hit the button and shut off the camera. And it was like, lost all of that. But I got some really good other footage. I mean, I got lots of fun footage. One guy in particular, that he and I always carry on. He, you know, he's got a great sense of humor. He knows a lot about fantasy stuff and science fiction stuff, so we always have a lot to talk about. And he and another guy normally work the online or the self-checkout registers in there. They're normally kind of close to each other. And the other guy always kind of starts dressing up. So like for Leprechaun, or for St. Patrick's Day, he started out with just a hat, and then the next week he comes and he's got badges on, and then the next week he comes and he's got a coat on, and the next week he comes, you know, and he just builds up to holidays. So he's building up to Easter right now. And so I spotted him, and his buddy wasn't there, and so I started doing a little of the same thing, shopping around. And eventually I got close enough that I got in his sphere, and he kind of turned around and looked at me, and I did the whole thing, "Do you remember that it's still April Fool's?" And he looked at me for a minute, and then he got this huge grin on his face, and he just, it was almost like he was wheezing as he was laughing because he was so tickled. And he bent over and he said, "You came in again." I said, "I did." "Or you changed again." That's what he said. I said, "I did. It's April Fool's." You know, and he laughed. And we had this lovely exchange. Well, his buddy that he normally works with came back a little later. And so when I start approaching, the great thing about the Walmart people is they're like ready to play jokes on each other. So they apparently hadn't told him, which is absolutely fabulous. And I started on approach, and they were grinning, and they were looking at the guy because they knew what I was going to do. And I kind of shopped around. And then I positioned myself close to him, like on an intercept course. And he kind of paused, and he kind of looked at me like he didn't know who I was. He didn't know. And I did the line. And he just stared at me for a minute. And then he stared some more. And then he finally said, "Wait, what?" And the other guys came up and started ribbing him about the fact it was me. And he's like, "No way." And he said some choice words. And then we laughed and carried on for a while. So you know, it was lovely. It was a lovely moment. And I got that one on camera. Well, all this time, I had been looping back through the automotive section because I wanted to see my friend Beverly and Ethel. And my friend Ethel. And they weren't there. When I finally got to the store about 3 o'clock, and they had gone to lunch. And at first I thought, oh, I'm going to miss them, you know, because they said, well, they won't be back till about 4. And I was like, oh, because I wasn't sure I wanted to be in the store that long, because it was getting long now, because I had planned everything as if I was going to be done by about 3. And, you know, so it was starting to get a little long, but I was like, no. And literally there was a little voice that said, no, you should stick around till 4. And I was like, okay. Well, by about 3:30-ish, word had gotten around the store, you know, that I was in and that I was, you know, had full makeup on. And so by that point, you have people coming up. I had one lady come up to me, one of the workers. She walked up and she said, that is not you. I said, yeah, it is. And she's like, no way. And she's looking at me and she's looking at me and she's trying to make the placement. We carry on. We laugh. So I had looped back to automotive a couple of times to see if, you know, Beverly and Ethel had come in yet. And they hadn't. And so then I was talking to another guy, one of the guys in automotive, and I had my back to the main part of the store because automotive was right in front of me. And he looked over my shoulder. He said, there they are. I said, okay. So I just kind of drifted off and went and did some shopping and stuff. And this spectacular moment unfolded, completely unscripted, beautifully played. I mean, it is, I'm standing there watching this thing unfold, and it makes everything worthwhile. It makes all the planning worthwhile. It makes getting stuck with Nana's car worthwhile, because if I hadn't gotten stuck and been to the store at like 2:15, Beverly and Ethel would have been there and I would have interacted with them and potentially missed everything because I stopped the camera when I went up to talk to Mike. But the fact that they were out of the store meant that they couldn't find out what I was doing and they didn't interact with anybody right when they got back to the store. And so they were coming in cold at 4 o'clock after I had already been through the entire store. And the fact that they're good friends in automotive and half of the guys in there had already seen me. They knew. And they happened to be out because they knew I was looking for the two of them. So two of the guys, both Mikes, Mike and Mike, were kind of out there. They knew I was hovering in the distance. I mean, it was just a thing of beauty to watch it play out. It was just amazing because Beverly walks in, and it's all on the videotape. Or not videotape, it's all on the video. Because Beverly walks in with Ethel, and I'm shopping, and she looks at, I think she looked at Ethel. You can just hear her in the background say, is that Phil? And when she said that, I thought, oh, she's clocked me. So a little voice said, no, just give her a dead stare. So I just kind of turned and looked at her a little bit confused, you know. And then she said, oh, that's not Phil. And then one of the mics jumped in. And he said, Beverly, that's rude. And then that started this whole thing. She said, well, I thought it was Phil. And so they're going into automotive, and I tracked in behind them and just followed them in, and they're having this big discussion about the fact that, you know, she said, well, has he been in today? And they said, yeah, he came in this morning. He was a grandmother. And so they're taking out their phones and they're showing her pictures of me in. I'm standing right there. And she's looking at me and she looks up and she says, I thought you were my friend Phil. And they show her the pictures, and she takes the phone out of the guy's hand, and she shows me the phone, and she said, this is my friend Phil. He comes in costumes every week. And I'm just looking at her, you know, trying to have a quasi-pleasant expression on my face, you know, but still not doing anything. And she's talking, and she says, you know, he's a hoot. And I thought, there it is. That's the opening. And I looked at her, and I said, I'm still a hoot. And everything, the realization just crashed in. And she put back her head and laughed. And then we started ribbing each other, and the mics were ribbing her, and she was laughing, and then she was giving it as good. And it was, it just turned into this lovely, lovely moment. Just one of those beautiful moments that you can't plan. And it was, like I said, if that's the only thing that had happened the whole time, it would have been worth all the planning. Even if I had got it on videotape, it just would have been worth all the planning. Because it was just fun. You know, so it was not cheap to do, given two costumes, given the makeup applications, all that stuff. But it was valuable. And we had moments. And I just came from Walmart because I got some mixed nuts because I'm coming off my fast and I'm going to go be eating here in just a little bit. But I thought, well, I have a little snack. You know, I have a little snack before I get over there. But it was worth doing. And I actually saw a buddy while I was in Walmart getting my little bag of mixed, or my thing of mixed nuts. And he said, yeah, he said, he had, from what he had said, it was like a two or three day reverberation thing, that people were still talking about it 2 or 3 days later, saying they just couldn't believe that was actually me, and, you know, that kind of stuff. And so it gave, you know, it gave everybody something to talk about, something to smile about for multiple days. And that's really cool. You know, that's really, really cool. Because, you know, if you can bring joy, if you can bring a little joy to people, open the door for something perhaps later, maybe nothing perhaps later. But just make a little effort to let people know that you see them, that you want to be part of their lives, and that you want to make a positive, bring some positive benefit to their lives. It's worth doing. And so, yeah, it was just a load of fun. If you'd like to see the video of it, it's like 23 minutes with all the interactions on it. This was another thing about this. Just sometimes, you know, Jesus gives you these ideas and they turn to be out to be better ideas than you initially thought. Because one of the things about the internet and all the people who are doing things on the internet, one of the things about that is that it's really hard to come up with a truly original idea. A quasi-original idea that no one has thought of. Let's put it that way. And when I was trying to think, what am I going to name this video? This idea just popped into my head. Call it Phil Foolery. Oh, that's fun. Phil Foolery. And spell it with a PH. So it's PHIL space PHOOLERY. I'm like, yeah, that's fun. I did a Google search on it. No one else on the internet. Nothing popped up. I'm like, what? Went out, searched the domain name, philfoolery.com. It was available. So I got it. It's 12 bucks. I uploaded it to YouTube. You know, do a search for Phil Foolery. Boom, comes up. First search result. Which, you know, to be able to come up with something unique like that, that's like, hey, look at that. So it's fun. And like I said, there were just pieces along the way that, you know, it just worked out the way it needed to work out. And it really wasn't because I was actively involved in making it work out that way. It just worked out that way. Because honestly, at every step, Jesus is paying attention. And honestly, Jesus loves those workers at Walmart. He loves the workers at Cracker Barrel. He loves the workers at First Watch. And if he can spend me a little bit to bring some smiles and to bring some joy and to bring some validation to them, that I can stand and talk to them and share with them, see them, and make them feel, at least in small part, that their life has value. That is worth doing. And I think it pleases our Father very much when we do that for His children, whether they name His name or not. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have stopped my car in the cemetery and finished driving around, and I will make it home later. Have a great weekend.